More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, be not afraid. Is fear, worry, or anxiety holding you back in life? We give you the insights and tools you need to help you tap into a more courageous, confident you. 877-573-7825.
All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled Be Not Afraid, as we talk about fear, worry, and anxiety. Is fear holding you back in life? We're going to give you the insights and tools you need to help you tap into a more courageous, confident you. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Just program us into your contacts and then just
and then
hit the button.
That's just so much easier.
There you go. But we are here for you to talk about overcoming that anxiety that's holding you back. 877-573-7825.
So are you facing a problem in your life or your relationships, but you feel stuck because you're either afraid to do the wrong thing or that you don't have what it takes to see it through? Maybe you've been avoiding a conversation with your spouse or teen or parent or friend because you're nervous about how they're going to react to it. Have you been praying about a decision for a while but can't seem to pull the trigger because you're worried you'll get it wrong? Are the people you care about getting frustrated with you because you're always worried or upset about something? If you're tired of letting fear make your decisions for you, call in and let us help you tap into the courage and confidence God desires for you. And of course, if you got somebody in your life like that, especially somebody that's close, a spouse, a child, who sort of gets stuck in that fear, let us help you help them today as well. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And, you know, this is something that's universal. I mean, all of us deal with anxiety. All of us deal with fear. This is not something to be ashamed of. You're not letting God down if you're anxious. I know that a lot of Christians feel that way because over and over again, Jesus keeps saying, do not be anxious, do not be afraid. And then we feel guilty because we are. That's not what God's trying to do.
No, not at all. And I have to say that, you know, he didn't say it in what words we know he said in the Garden of Gethsemane, but in the garden, before he had to go through his passion and death, he was sweating blood. He was asking God if it was possible, you know, the Father in his will to take the cup away. God the Father didn't get mad at him for having that feeling of, I don't want to do this. This is terrifying. Instead, he sent the angels to comfort him and give him the strength to get through it. And so, as you were saying, Greg, the first step is really calling on God in all of this, but we have to remember, just like you said, it's part of what we go through as human beings, and God's not going to get angry at us if we admit it. He's going to join with us if we ask Him into it.
So let's talk about how to get past it, because we can't let this fear or worry or anxiety hold us back. I mean, obviously, if there's some genuine threat.
Right, there's a difference between prudence and fear and anxiety.
No, that's an excellent point, because prudence, and it can feel like anxiety, because it points out, hey, don't walk down that dark alley at midnight, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and so we have that sense that, oh, there's real danger there. I mean, so if the feeling that we have points to an obvious danger or at least concern that should be addressed. If it's a concern, we don't necessarily have to avoid the thing, but we need to address the concern as a way of testing whether the thing is safe to do or not.
Well, and prudence gives us sort of the nudge to say, hey, Lord, what do you want me to do about this? And always sort of points in a direction of what to do, where I'll speak for myself when I start to let too much fear or especially anxiety crawl into a situation. My mind locks down, and I have a very hard time thinking of any practical, real solution for anything. So prudence is going to connect you with the Holy Spirit and help you deal and cope with the situation to protect yourself, to move in a positive direction. Where fear and anxiety kind of does the opposite.
And the good news about that is, I mean, because most people will feel that anxiety and they lock down like you were describing, and they think that, well, I can't unlock until my circumstances change or until I somehow magically feel better. But the reality is, because it's happening inside of us, we can take charge of that process. It's tricky to learn how to do it, but it is possible to do it. We want to help walk you through that today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. Let us help you stop letting fear hold you back in your life, your relationships, or for that matter, let us help you help someone you care about who is in that position. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And, you know, it's reasonable to ask, how can some theology possibly help me deal with anxiety and fear and worry? Well, the theology of the body actually says a lot about this. St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. Basically, he said, you know, if we take everything that God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation, history, big data set there, right? What universal principles could we discern about God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships? And his answer to that question became what people now refer to as the theology of the body.
The theology of the body reminds us that before the fall, Adam and Eve were completely vulnerable, but still completely at peace, because they felt deeply connected to God and each other. After the fall, when that connection broke, anxiety and fear entered the world for the first time. Our first parents became intimately aware of their nakedness and vulnerability. They covered themselves and tried to hide. All of this hints at what psychological research now shows. Fear isn't about the size of the problem in front of us. It's about feeling cut off from the love and resources that can support us and get us through.
And that's where people get stuck, right? Because we tend to think that courage means feeling no fear. So we wait for the fear to pass before we act. But Christian confidence was really never about feeling ready. It's about, regardless of how I feel, knowing that God is working in me and with me and through me, and having the courage then to take the next steps, even when I'm scared to do so.
So if something inside you keeps pushing towards genuine growth, connection, or integration, even when you feel afraid, that is probably the Holy Spirit at work. God isn't waiting for you to be fearless. He's asking you to be faithful.
Now, so as always, the first step is to bring those fears to God and pray, Lord, if there truly is something dangerous or concerning you're asking me to look at, make that clear to me. But if I'm just letting anxiety stop me from doing what you're calling me to do, help me step forward in faith, even though I still feel the fear. Then take that step. You don't need the whole map, you just need that next step, and we need to just be receptive to the God who promises that if he's asking something of us, he knows he's given us what we need to succeed, and he intends to show us what to do. You know, St. John Paul made something of a motto of saying, be not afraid. And he said it so often, not because the road was easy, but because we don't have to walk it alone. And the more connected we feel to God, to the support and love of the people around us, and even to our own best selves, the less fear, worry, and anxiety we'll feel. We want to help you connect with that more courageous, confident self. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let us help you get out of your own way so that you can have the courage you need to face that personal or relationship problem, have that conversation, deal with that issue, or for that matter, support that person you care about who is locked down in fear, worry, or anxiety. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. And we'll start taking your calls. In the name
of the
Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, all of us are fearful. All of us have anxiety. All of us get stuck sometimes because we feel disconnected from your love, from the love and support of the people around us, even from our own best selves. Help us to remember that you are with us at all times. If there is something to be concerned about, then help us to see that clearly and either respond to those concerns in ways that alleviate them or see that those are concerns that point out something that we should avoid. But if there aren't concerns and we're just dealing with a feeling, help us to connect to the grace that allows us to step forward in faith, even in the middle of our fear, so that we can do all the things that lead to greater growth, greater connection, greater integration and healing, and follow your call and bear witness to the glory, your glory, in our lives. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name
of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, be not afraid, something that St. John Paul said often. Is fear, worry, or anxiety holding you back in some part of your life? You know, is there a decision that you need to make, but you're kind of resisting pulling the trigger because you just are afraid of doing the wrong thing? Is there a conversation you need to have with somebody, but you're afraid of their reaction, and or some other issue that is just holding you back?
Maybe you're afraid of someone else's anxiety, that it's taking away your power in the situation, an adult relative that needs more help or a life change in their world, and you're afraid to even bring it up because you're afraid of their reaction. A young child who you can't explain all this theological, psychological stuff to, so how do you get them over their fears when they have to do something that makes them uncomfortable? A spouse that's afraid to move in a new direction because they're afraid of all the things that could go wrong, but it affects your life. Whether you're dealing with that anxiety or there's somebody in your life and it affects you when they're anxious, let us help you today and get you new skills and connect you with God's grace. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. We have a question here, Greg, from Tara, who is listening in California. And she says, I feel like fear has been running my life since I became a mom. My son is 8, and I'm so afraid of messing him up that I second-guess every parenting decision I make. I grew up with parents who were harsh and critical, and I swore I would be different. But now I've swung so far in the other direction that I don't set boundaries or follow through on consequences because I'm afraid of being arbitrary or unreasonably harsh, just like my parents were. My husband tells me I'm a good wife, but that I have a hard time, accepting that. How do I stop parenting from a place of fear and start trusting that God can work through me when I don't get it perfectly? And that's Tara in California.
Tara, thank you so much for the question. You know, and I actually talk to a lot of moms who feel very similarly to you. In fact, we have several folks who are in exactly the same situation on the Catholic Home app.
And I think that more and more parents right now are being insightful enough to know that something about their parents' parenting didn't work out well for them. And I think this might be one of the first generations to really be willing to admit that. But just trying to do the opposite isn't effective or helpful in healing our own wounds or raising our children.
That's right. And actually, I'm glad you pointed to the you know, our own wounds piece, because there's more going on here, Tara, than just that you don't want to be like your parents. You're still that little girl who feels like she's always getting it wrong.
Mm.
Right? So it's not just that you don't want to be like them. It's that you have to give up the idea that you're that little girl who can never get it right.
Wow. Right? You're right.
So it's a matter of you're still playing that role, and not seeing yourself as the full grown adult that you are. And you're aware of the, well, I don't want to be like mom and dad, but I need you to be more aware of the fact that you're not that little girl anymore, and they're not standing over your shoulder criticizing you and telling you that you're getting everything wrong. You feel like that.
And even if they're in your life, and perhaps they do criticize you, even if they're still both alive and they make that face when they're around your kids or say something, their opinion no longer matters because God made you the mother of your particular children, and he has a plan for how you should be parenting them, and also he has a plan for how to heal your wounds so that you can do that.
It might seem funny to hear me put it this way, but what's really happening is that the grown-up you isn't showing up to parent. It's that little inner child, that little girl who is always afraid of getting it wrong, who's trying to parent, and then she feels like, well, wait a minute, I told my little brother the wrong thing, right? And so what the important thing here is, and this is borrowing a technique from what's called internal family systems theory, and that's where we imagine that we have different parts inside of us, and our job in the kind of the executive role is to bring those parts together to help them talk better with each other and also make sure that the parts are doing the right job, right? So our inner child part, that's the part that's supposed to be joyful, like a kid, right? Like that children play and they explore and they dream. And so our inner child parts should be helping us lead a joyful life. But often, you know, when we go through difficult things, especially as kids, those inner child parts become too busy to play. They worry about, like in your case, making mom and dad happy and wondering why I can't ever get anything right. And so instead of playing and being joyful, that little girl inside is just so consumed with always, you know, being feeling wrong and always wanting to be right that she can't play. And so what's really helpful is kind of imagining a conversation with that little girl inside of you where you, being the adult, kind of reminds yourself of all the things that you've accomplished and all the things that you do and all the things that God has worked in you, even though you don't feel it. And you kind of close your eyes and even bring the Lord into this. You know, make it part of your prayer. You know, Lord, help me to love this little girl and to help her let go of this responsibility. And you kind of talk to her about how she doesn't have to be afraid anymore because mom and dad aren't criticizing her. That God loves her and he's given her this child and that he knows that she can handle it. And that you're going to, and in fact, she shouldn't be the parent. You are, right? It's her job to help you enjoy your son. It's her job to help you play with your son because that's what kids are good at, right? And so this inner little girl can help you relax and begin to enjoy. And you can be the grown-up who makes these decisions. And when you start feeling anxious about getting it wrong, realize that's not you, the grown-up you talking. That's the little girl talking. And you just sort of look, close your eyes, take that deep breath, and say, hey, I really need you to help me find the fun in this. I need you to help me find the joy in this. I don't want you to parent your brother. I want you to trust me to parent for you and for you to just have fun and play with this little guy. I know it sounds crazy, I know it sounds silly, but if you have that conversation, it's going to make a big difference in the way you approach things. Now, if you find that you're trying to do this on your own and you're struggling with it, then this is the kind of thing that we can do with you through at CatholicCounselors.com to really help you have, you know, that prayerful conversation where you can bring the Lord into this and really help you heal that little girl that's so scared. But really, that's the issue here. It's not just that you want to be different than your folks. It's that there's still a part of you that believes that you're that little girl who's always afraid of getting it wrong. And we need to help free her from that. And you can start that by having this conversation. I talk about this more, by the way, in my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, where I talk about parts work and really kind of talking about these different parts and helping them come to a place of healing. So if you'd like to try that first, check out Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. But if you need more personalized support, then I encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Tara, thank you so much for the question. The good news is there is healing for you. There are ways to rebuild this confidence. You could start with the suggestions we've made here, but if you need additional resources, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, or CatholicCounselors.com. We got to take a break, but when we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about fear, worry, and anxiety. And we're also going to be joined by Rachel Watkins, who is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club, mom of 11. She's going to be sharing some insights from the Psalms on overcoming anxiety. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
This program is brought to you in part by the following organization. The Precip app provides rainfall history at specific locations without needing a rain gauge. It uses radar technology to show recent rainfall totals, long-term seasonal trends, and weather information at selected locations. More information can be found at precipapp.com. That's precipapp.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Have you ever been so grief-stricken and so heart-sick that you can't see God? You can't see God in the tragedy. You can't see God in that cross. You can't see God in that sin. Why? You're enveloped in that grief. You're enveloped in fear. And God is out the window. You don't see Him standing right next to you.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, be not afraid. Is fear, worry, or anxiety holding you back in some part of your life? Let us help you get the tools you need to rediscover that courageous, confident self that God is calling you to be. 877-573-7825. And joining us right now, Rachel Watkins. She is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Lisa.
It's so good to have you with us. Now, Rachel, you know, you've been through a lot in your life, so you've had a lot of times when you've had a chance to try to overcome fear or anxiety. And you've come to a point where you realize that, well, King David and the Psalms can teach us a whole lot. So what do you want to share with us about that today?
Well, let's admit it. We all have fears, and negative thoughts are going to arise. And when we recognize that we're not the first ones to go through this, we can find real comfort. Think of King David. He was in charge of not only the worries about his own soul, remember, he was an adulterer, but he had a family. Mm. He had an entire kingdom that God had gifted him with. But in the Psalms, there are numerous Psalms that can truly give us comfort. You know, Psalm 55, cast your fears upon the Lord. Your own Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of darkness. And truly, taking comfort and just sitting quietly and reading through Psalm 55, 27, you know, Google Psalms about worry and a whole list will come up. Pick one. Sit there before the Lord and say, Lord, this is how I feel. I'm so afraid. I'm so anxious. And then say to Him, take over. Because only God is big enough to handle all of the things in the world that are bombarding us with fear and anxiety. Say, Lord, I want to be little before You. Can You be my Father and lead the way? And with that,
you know, one of the things I've noticed,
He will.
I'm so sorry. One of the things I've noticed about praying the Psalms is that it really, I think, is God, one of the many things I'm sure that God is trying to do through the Psalms, but one of the things that I've experienced is that God is sort of re-recording our inner voice through the Psalms. Mm-hmm. He's teaching us how to relate to the whole breadth of human experience. Because when you read through the Psalms, you know, the psalmist doesn't pull any punches. I mean, he talks about despair. He talks about anxiety. He talks
He's
about
very
anger.
Honest with God.
You know, about revenge or whatever. But they all offer a faithful perspective on everything the human person can feel. And as we pray the Psalms, it helps to reorder the inner conversation that we have with our feelings, with our circumstances, and enables us to feel our feelings fully, not deny them like a lot of Christians feel like they need to do, but relate to them in a way that allows God's grace to flow.
Well, I think the other thing that it does, I know it does this for me, is connect me with a bigger picture of God than my anxiety-riddled brain will have in that moment. So really connecting me with, like, the Creator God, this God that is all-powerful, because it's all there. So it's really helping us rewire our brains, allow the Holy Spirit into the moment, and help us to connect with God enough that we can start moving forward.
So profound suggestion on a lot of levels, Rachel. Thank you so much for that insight. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I really encourage them to go to beholdpublications.com. That's beholdpublications.com to learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club. Rachel, thanks for being with us. God bless you. And we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Our show today titled, Be Not Afraid. You know, is fear, worry, or anxiety holding you back in some part of your life or relationships? Or do you care about somebody who is kind of stuck in that place of fear, worry, or anxiety? The good news? God wants to deliver you. He wants to show you a way to let His grace and power shine out in your life. And it doesn't matter whether you believe in yourself. God believes in you. Let us help you connect with that grace and that knowledge that God has a plan and intends to see you through so that you can step out in faith even while you feel the fear. 877-573-7825. Back after this.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. St. John the Apostle records the John chapter 6 Bread of Life discourse, in which Jesus states that His flesh is true food and His blood true drink. Who better to understand John's writings and subsequent teachings than a disciple and student of John, St. Ignatius of Antioch? In his letter to the Smyrnians in 110 AD, Ignatius writes, "I have no taste for corruptible food, nor for the pleasures of this life. I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for drink, I desire His blood, which is love incorruptible." The Catholic Church absolutely follows St. John and St. Ignatius in taking Jesus at His word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
How did the first community of believers in Jerusalem pray? The Catholic Catechism tells us that as Christ's disciples were gathered together on the first Pentecost, the Spirit of the promise was poured out on them. They were in one place, devoting themselves to prayer. The Holy Spirit came to teach the church, to recall for her everything Jesus said, and to form her in a life of prayer. The first community devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and prayers. This sequence is characteristic of church worship founded on apostolic faith, lived in charity, and nourished by the Eucharist. The faithful hear these prayers and read them in the Scriptures and make them their own, particularly the Psalms. Thus, the Holy Spirit keeps the memory of Jesus Christ alive in His church at prayer. He leads her to the fullness of truth. He also inspires new formulations to express the unfathomable mystery of Christ at work in His church. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Mom's burnt out. I don't think we'll get enough. Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Did you know that research shows that married couples who find time to connect in meaningful ways tend to be happier and more resilient? It's not just about going out for a date now and then. It's about connecting in simple, ordinary ways on a daily and weekly basis. It's about finding ways to work, play, talk, and pray together instead of individually. For example, when couples choose to make a meal or clean up the kitchen together, that experience can nurture a sense of teamwork and collaboration that spills over into other areas of their relationship. couples can connect by regularly doing something fun together, too. It doesn't need to be big. It might be as simple as reading a book together or taking an interest in one another's hobbies. As small as these rituals of connection might seem, over time, they create a deep, solid foundation for any marriage. They create the time couples need to share experiences, relate on a deeper level, and build a shared life together. Get more tips for building a strong marriage in the book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. And if you would like to find faithful help with your relationship, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, we're talking about fear, worry, and anxiety on our show titled Be Not Afraid. Is fear holding you back in some way? In your life, your relationships, we want to help you overcome those obstacles and find that confident, courageous self that God is calling us all to be. 877-573-7825. Before we take our next call, I want to remind everybody that this weekend, of course, is Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. So we want to send out our heartfelt thanks to all the moms out there for all the ways that you bless us. Of course, we are also remembering our spiritual mothers on Mother's Day, including the mother of EWTN, Mother Angelica. So this Sunday, celebrate Mother's Day EWTN style as we feature Mother Angelica's teaching series on heaven. Tune in Sunday at noon, 1, 5, and 7 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
And I have to say, I am consistently astonished that nothing that I have heard that EWTN plays of Mother Angelica's wisdom over the years, none of it is dated. None of it is like, okay, well, that was when, you know, this year or this thing happened. She just speaks such profound, timeless truth. So treat yourself to that this Sunday and feed your heart, mind, and soul by listening to the teachings of Mother Angelica on heaven.
And again, that's this Sunday, Mother's Day, at noon, 1 p.m., 5 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. With that, we're taking your calls right now on our show titled Be Not Afraid, as we talk about overcoming fear, worry, and anxiety, and all the ways those feelings hold us back.
Let's talk now with Pierre, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Maine.
Pierre, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Great. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a client of Catholic Counselors, and I've been wanting to talk to the Popchaks for a long time, so I'm calling in to get your advice on this situation. My issue is I've been separated on and off for the last 6 months, and I find my wife doesn't accept my spiritual life. And, I practice daily Mass, and she doesn't respect me in that regard. She calls me a prude. She belittles my background from the seminary when I was 20. You know, we've been married for 22 years. She says I don't have a vocation for marriage. I should be a priest. So, with all this stress, you know,
what is she angry about? Because I mean, okay. So here, let me, and I'm sure you're talking about this with your counselor, yeah. But I can't help but feel. Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm so sorry that, I mean, that's very offensive, but when this happens, it's kind of, I think superficially we can get caught up in that, well, this is a religious thing. I don't think it's a religious thing. I think this is a proxy fight. I think she's mad about something else and she's using this to hurt you. What's she mad about?
Yeah. Well, it's just quite a few things. My wife, it's Mother's Day coming up, and my wife is sterile. In her 20s, she lost her ovaries to some issues. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of emotional, turmoil on that. Within our marriage, it can be various things, it's just not easy to explain a radio show.
Okay.
Exactly.
No, that's all right. So let me, because I know that you're talking about this. You said you're working with one of our team members. So I want to just kind of bring you back to some of those tools. All right. So You know, yeah. In the practice, we talk about being in our adult self versus our child self. And for listeners, what we mean by that is when we're in our adult self, our whole brain is turned on. You know, we can feel our feelings, but our thinking brain is in charge. And rather than reacting, we can respond in a thoughtful, productive way. When we fall into our child selves, that's when the thinking brain turns off and our emotional brain takes over. And we call it the child self, not because we're behaving childishly necessarily, but because if you were to take a picture of the brain when it's in that state, it would look like a four-year-old's brain. Because a four-year-old just has that emotional brain. It doesn't have much of a thinking brain developed yet. That's just developmentally. And so, you know, as that thinking brain, the cortex goes dark and the limbic system lights up like a Christmas tree, our brain looks very much like a child's brain, and we act as if we have only the resources of a child available to us. What causes that is stress and frustration and pain. And so, Pierre, your wife is in pain for some reason. She's angry about a lot of different things. And that anger causes her thinking brain to go offline, and her persona then is to lash out. You know, we when we fall into our child self, we don't solve problems. We fight, flee, freeze, or fawn, the four Fs, right? And those are just reactions that are meant to either overpower who we think is the threat or get us away from the threat. Now, of course, when somebody is acting that way toward us, we then feel threatened too, and that puts us in our child self. So we tend to either lash out back, or we shut down, or we try to overpower that person with our words and lecture them, or we try to make them happy by just accommodating them and doing whatever we can to just make the peace, right? All of those responses are unhealthy responses. So, you mentioned, when I asked you what she was angry about, her issues with fertility, there are other things that are wrong too. She's saying stuff. I mean, let's face it. These are stupid things for her to be mad at you about. I mean, objectively, they're just dumb, right? No, why would anybody be mad at? It's got nothing to do with these things. It's about she's hurting and she wants to hurt you. And your response to that has to be to look at her in the eye and say, "I love you. I know you're hurting. I'm so sorry. And when you want to talk about what it is that you're hurting and what we can do to address it, I am here for you. But I can't have this conversation with you. So let me know when you're ready to have the real conversation. And I promise you can trust me to be here through it with you." That's what you need to be doing. That's really what she's asking for. She's asking for you to be that strong, godly man who can... And I'm not saying that what she's doing is appropriate. It's not. It's childish. It's hurtful. It's offensive.
But that's just the place she's in because of her pain.
And that's not okay. But marriage exists to heal these kinds of things. And if you can be that strong, godly man who can let her kind of beat on your chest until she kind of breaks down and cries and hold her and help her through this, that's what's going to help you both grow up and be the husband and wife that God is calling you both to be.
And that's what we're all called to do, to in marriage, to grow up together, to help each other heal, to be there for one another, and help each other love each other and God better. That's why it's a sacrament.
So, I know that you've talked about some of these things with the person that you're working with at CatholicCounselors.com, and I want you to bring this back to that counselor and talk about how, you know, we shared this with you. But that's what's going on, right? Your wife is hurting. She's angry. And when somebody is in their child self, they can say all kinds of things, right? They can say, you know, you should have been a priest. You're just this prude. Or they could say, you know, you're a big poopy head. You know, it doesn't matter. Well, you know, it's just nonsense.
Child noise, right? Because that's where we go when we're scared and hurting.
They're words, and what the words really mean is, I'm hurt, and I'm scared.
Help me.
And I don't know what to do about it, and I need someone to help me, right? So as hard as it is to really hear the message underneath the message, that's what you need to do, Pierre. And look at her and say, you're setting a limit with it. You're not tolerating it. It's like, honey, I love you. And I know that you're hurting. And I know that you're angry. And I know that you don't know what to do about it. And I want to have that conversation with you. And when you're ready to talk to me about whatever that is, I promise I'll be here for you. And somehow we'll figure it out together. but I'm not going to do this. So let me know when you're ready to have that other conversation, because I want to work on that with you, because I see how much pain you're in, and it breaks my heart, and I love you. If you can respond to her that way and do it over and over again, you're going to break through. I promise. Work on this more with your counselor at CatholicCounselors.com, and I think that really start applying the tools that we're giving you, because that's what's going to make a difference. Thanks so much for the call. And we are taking your calls, listeners, as well at 877-573-7825. Look, the reality is fear, anxiety, especially, you know, in Pierre's case, when somebody's attacking you, when somebody you love, like whether it's your teenager or your little one or your spouse or a family member, they're lashing out at you, they're dumping all this emotional stuff. It's easy to feel intimidated. It's easy to feel anxious. It's easy to get to the place where, you know, you want to, there are certain conversations you want to have or need to have, or certain things you need to do, but you know it's just going to cause them to blow up some more. So
and
you
then
just,
we get more anxiety ridden, so we want to run away from the whole thing.
But our job as Christians is to do the hard thing. And not just because it's hard. To do the hard thing that leads to me being a healthier, holier person, challenges the people around me to be their best selves, and works for the good of my relationship with you. So if I'm praying about what to do about this, and as I'm praying about it, I'm like, God, help me figure out what it would mean for me to be my best self. Help me figure out what it would mean and what it would take for me to call this person, in Pierre's case, my wife, you know, to be her best self. And what do I need to do to work for the good of our relationship? And as you pray about that, you start to identify certain things that need to be done or certain things that need to be said. And if you feel anxious about that, that's okay. But as long as you genuinely, prayerfully believe that they are working for your good, or their good, and the good of the relationship, you need to do it anyway.
And if it's at all possible, it can even really help when you're in the midst of this escalating thing, right? This conversation where that person is in their place of fear, therefore, you know, parts of their brain are shut down, so they're in a very childlike, reactionary place. To take that deep breath and out loud, in the moment, pray that prayer that Greg just said. Lord, I want to be here for my wife, my child, my husband, my mother, whoever this is. I want us to be able to get through what they're afraid of. And I want to be here for them, and I want to be able to heal all this stuff, but I don't know how, and I don't know how to have this conversation well, but I really want to show them that I love them, and that I'm here for them, and that I want to get through it. Use your own words. Use your own gut instinct in a way that says, Lord, we need you to come into this situation so that we can overcome the fear and love each other better.
And if you don't know how to do that, that's okay. That's what folks like our team are here for. That's so right. You can learn more and get that support at CatholicCounselors.com. All right, we are continuing to take your calls about fear, worry, and anxiety and all the ways that it holds us back, and more importantly, how to find the courage and confidence that God wants for all of us. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6.
Be strong and steadfast. Have no fear or dread, for the Lord your God, who marches with you, will never fail you or forsake you.
You know, and this goes to, when we've done shows on confidence, we always talk about the idea of Christian confidence really doesn't mean inflating ourselves and saying, I'm amazing and I can do anything.
Mm-mm.
It's all about discernment, first. What is God asking me to do? And then secondly, it's about that receptivity that says, well, look, if God's asking me to do it, then he believes I can do it. And it doesn't matter how I feel about it. You know, when Moses had to go talk to Pharaoh, and he had a stutter, just like I did right there. And he was afraid to stand up to Pharaoh and sure that he would be a laughingstock. But he knew what God asked him to do, and he did it. This passage is talking about, you know, Joshua and Jericho, right? You know, and it seemed like an impossible battle, you know, but God fought the fight. All we have to do as Christians is it's not about feeling confident all the time. We can be terrified.
No, our confidence is in God. Our confidence is what this Deuteronomy 31:6 said. God marches with you and will never fail you or forsake you. He might ask you to do things that prove that you're trusting him, like march around a wall over and over again.
Or invade Cana, you know, with the giants, you know.
Exactly. I mean, you know, all sorts of like, how can this work? But it's his way of showing us that it's him that's in charge. But that doesn't mean we sit on our laurels because God's going to fix everything. It means we pray. We ask him what we should do. We tell him we're terrified. And then we do our best to march alongside of him.
And that's how he's glorified in our lives. Because it isn't up to us. It isn't our power. It's him. So let's talk about how to manifest that power in your lives. And really experience confidence, if not in yourself, then in the Lord and what he's asking you to do. 877-573-7825. More to Life continues with your questions after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
That They May Be One, a docudrama featuring Cardinal Ranieri Cantalamessa, Dr. Mary Healy, and Francis Chen, exploring how the Holy Spirit has been working across generations and denominations to answer the prayer of Jesus.
Church is meant to look like the Church of the Acts of the Apostles. And if you read Acts, you see just how far we are.
In theaters May 19th and 20th. More information at thatthemaybeonefilm.com.
Our 20th anniversary Danube River cruise was spectacular. Due to popular demand, we have again chartered our own exclusive and brand new ship for a Rhine River cruise to four European countries of the most beautiful churches in Catholic history in Europe. The trip is already half sold out. Join us in June 2027. Immerse yourself in the rich Catholic heritage of Europe.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, go to avemariaradio.net and find the travel link.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit avemariafunds.com.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, be not afraid, as we talk about fear, worry, and anxiety, and more importantly, how to overcome it. 877-573-7825.
Greg, we have a question here from Emily, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network. She says, my marriage has been rough for about 2 years. We don't fight much, which sounds good, but in truth, we just don't talk about anything real anymore. I know we need counseling. My sister did it, and it saved her marriage, but I'm just scared. First of all, I know my husband won't want to go, and it's going to be a fight to just suggest it. But even if we make it through that, what if we start digging into things and it turns out we can't fix it? What if I hear things I can't unhear? I think the fear of wanting counseling might uncover feelings bigger than the fear of staying stuck. How do I find the courage to take a step when I'm terrified of where it might lead? And that's Emily in Texas.
All right, Emily, thank you for the question. And I think these are all very common fears associated with counseling. Let's take them all here, one at a time. So let's talk about the internal fears that you've got right now. You know, what if you start digging into things and you can't fix it, or what if you hear things you can't unhear? That's what counseling's about. It's about helping you process those things that are hard to say and deal with those things that you wouldn't be able to handle on your own.
I will say, though, I want to jump in and get this at the forefront of it. It's really important if you're doing marriage counseling to get a trained marriage and family therapist, pro marriage therapist, because you can't just go to a random person who just does individual therapy. They aren't trained exactly.
Well, that's a really good important point, Lisa. Thank you. So, there are a lot of therapists who are trained as individual counselors who will also see couples. The research shows that individual therapists who, quote-unquote, also see couples have about a 30% success rate, where therapists who actually have done training and supervision in marriage and family counseling have a success rate over 85%. So there's a big difference, right? So make sure that when you're talking with somebody, you ask them what specific training and supervision they've had in marriage counseling. Because as I said, they're much more successful if they are actually a marriage therapist who has done training and has had supervision from another marriage therapist in this work. So that's critical. When you're looking for somebody, make sure that you're working with somebody who knows what they're doing. Because a lot of individual therapists really just sort of see it as their job to support the individuals in leaving the marriage. Whereas a marriage therapist has the expertise to know how to help the individuals thrive and build a healthy marriage. Right? So, but coming up with your questions here, specifically about, I'm afraid that, that you might hear something that you can't unhear or uncover things you can. Those things are there, whether you deal with them or not. Right? And I think that, you know that. That's why you're afraid of this. You're afraid that there are certain things that you guys have been avoiding talking about. You say you don't talk to each other anymore. There are things that you need to talk about that you aren't discussing, and they are poisoning your marriage because you're not dealing with them.
And when that happens, it builds very much. I mean, forgive the very obvious, metaphor, but it really builds like that snowball rolling downhill. I want to talk about this. I don't trust it's going to work out well. Your brain starts downloading all the fears you have about it. You don't discuss it. Okay, now I'm resentful that I can't discuss it. And one thing builds upon another to the point where you're dealing with the fear of even trying to get help.
Well, this is another metaphor it's not particularly attractive, but I think it gets the point. If you have a wound,
yeah, right,
and it gets infected, and there's pus there, it's gross to let that stuff out. But if you keep it in, it poisons the rest of your body. And that's what's going to happen to your marriage if you don't deal with it. Working with a trained professional who has training and supervision in marriage counseling is used to dealing with this kind of emotional infection and will help you process it in a safe way. So I wanted to address that. In terms of your husband, look, the reality is nobody wants to do marriage counseling. Nobody,
He doesn't. None of us want to go to a dentist or a doctor or anything. I don't even want to get my handyman in here to start taking apart part of my house that needs to be fixed. We don't want the disruption.
And men, we don't like to ask for directions. We don't even like to use our phone to get directions.
Truly,
right?
So, you don't even want to put it into your GPS.
I know what I'm doing. That's pride. Right, and you can't let that get in your way. You're a full grown smart woman. You see what's going on, and I think you just it's okay to just go to your husband and say, look, I've made this decision that we can't keep going like this, and so I've made an appointment for us to talk to somebody. Yeah, that's the way to do it.
I made an appointment.
If you go to your whether it's your husband or your wife, if you go to your spouse, you say, do you think we need marriage counseling?
They don't say no.
No. Why would I
want
to do
it.
That?
I don't think we need, no.
No. No, if you think that you need counseling, the way to handle it is to go to your spouse and say, look, I love you. I'm sorry if this irritates you, but this is not working for either of us. And so I'm made an appointment for us to go talk to this person. Now, if they don't like that person, they can find somebody else to talk to. They can say, I don't like that person. I'm going to find somebody else. And you can say, great. And when you find that person, we can go to them. In the meantime, we're going to go to this person.
Yes, because you're not saying, okay, and then waiting for them to find that person.
Because that's a stalling tactic.
Avoid.
Right? So if you see that there's a problem that needs to be addressed, you make the executive decision to make the appointment. You have the right to do that. And if you want faithful support, I encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. You can check out our book, how to heal your marriage and nurture lasting love to get a sense of the kind of approach that we'll take. But the good news is, when couples get professional support from people who have been trained in marriage counseling, who have had supervision in marriage counseling, the odds are very good that you can heal whatever is going on. But thank you so much for the question, Emily. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us again at CatholicCounselors.com. And listeners, if you are feeling fear, worry, or anxiety that's holding you back in any way, or you care about somebody close to you who is, and you're not quite sure what to do about it, reach out to us. We're here for you. CatholicCounselors.com. Let us help you find the tools you need to discover that confident, courageous self that God is calling all of us to be. CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Get out there and celebrate the fact that there is so much more to life.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.